The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Pro-Trump terrorists have threatened new attacks. Meantime, at the White House, the soon-to-be former president continues to shatter norms.
He looks small. He just looks like a small man. And he just has appeared smaller and smaller and less courageous.
What a difference 4 years makes. He had a very impressive, huge crowd at his inauguration. It's going to be a little pathetic, a tiny little crowd at Joint Base Andrews. Where he's going to say goodbye.
In a way, because the president is defying these traditions of not being a part of the inauguration of President Joe Biden, he's almost leaving town like an autocrat ousted from power, heading off into exile.
He leaves with the lowest approval ratings of any president after one term in the history of scientific polling.
Melania Trump also leaving with the lowest approval rating of any first lady in the history of polling, which is a remarkable thing.
And here is President-elect Biden and soon-to-be first lady Jill Biden, but with the grace and class we have come to expect from them, they waited for Donald Trump to have his moment. They are going to go to mass right now.
He is, as we keep pointing out, a religious man, a man of deep faith.
President-elect Biden turning once again to his Catholic faith, which has really been a mainstay throughout his life. When he was out on the campaign trail, he would quietly find churches to slip into to attend mass while he was traveling. He is very comfortable being in a church, speaking in a church, as faith is really central to who he is.
There's a cleansing. There's an air of cleansing about today.
Even the Republicans are in mass. There's no longer that social pressure from Donald Trump to be maskless, to be sort of proudly maskless.
I think his inaugural address was spectacular today, and it was just what the country needed.
That was beautiful. You know, beauty heals. Beauty heals. But there was not one part of that that wasn't just medicine in the wound.
I thought it was a great speech. I've been listening to these inaugural addresses since 1961, John F. Kennedy, Ask Not. I thought this was the best inaugural address I ever heard.
For anybody out there wondering, yes, there has been a deep clean of the building, given the fact that the previous occupants did not take coronavirus particularly seriously. So, do not worry about that.
Wow. There has never been a first day president of the United States with more experience, more knowledge of what he's getting into in his first hours in the history of the country. This is the most experience that has ever been brought to the Oval Office in its history.
You know, the Avengers, you know, sort of the Marvel superheroes back up there together all in one place.
It's so nice to have a president with a soul again. The previous one sold his to the devil and didn't. Like I do at most happy things, I cried a lot. It's true. It was extremely emotional.
You know, we did narrowly avert catastrophe in America. It may have been the best speech Joe Biden's ever given, and I don't want to go overboard and compare it to Lincoln's second inaugural, but
we are about to see a change of incalculable dimensions. And for those who still just have to cover Donald Trump because they've done it for 4 years, really, get over it.
Get over it. Just move on. Move on. Big day for big media yesterday. Very excited. They are very excited about the Joe Obama administration. The art of the steal is complete. We've seen so much from the fake news. We've seen a fake presidential campaign, a fake candidate, and now a fake president. And everyone, if you watched any of it, if you could stomach it, sorry to start your morning off this way. That's a brief summary of some of the news coverage yesterday. You're, of course, listening to the Trumpet Daily radio show. We're still broadcasting live on our very own platform, thetrumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live, and you can see how our IT department's been working hard this week to make sure that you can still reach this program, even as YouTube blots it out. Even as YouTube and other social media sites work to blot out anything about what's actually happened the last 3 months. The art of the steal. And here this inauguration in front of nobody and so many people up there on the platform, part of the steal. I think someone tweeted out that it was a crime scene. They're all in on it. Or if they aren't in on it, they didn't do anything to stop it. You had these Supreme Court justices up there. They did nothing. At least to this point, they've done nothing. And then looking out at the mall, nobody. Empty chairs. Thousands of flags. And a media that was obsessed with crowd sizes 4 years ago. Well, it's not as big as Obama. It's not as big as Obama. And then the president said, no, look, it was a huge crowd. Look at how far back. And then they just mocked President Trump. No, it wasn't as big as Obama's crowd. And then yesterday, nobody. No, there were more people in Florida welcoming Donald Trump back to Florida than there were at the inauguration of the President of the United States. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? YouTube, for its part, as I say, they're trying to blot out the truth. How revealing is this? I switched over to the new White House YouTube channel. Everything transitions at the middle part of the day from the Trump administration now over to the Biden administration. And at the time that I checked out this is the official White House stream of the inauguration. And at the time I looked at it, there were 32,000. I think it was the time when that gal was reciting this Marxist poem. So there were 32,000 people watching, not many at all. Remember how many were viewing? And then again, this is just one YouTube channel. But you put it all together. I think Sam ran some numbers where NBC had 400,000. Another website had 100,000 or so. And you compare that even with just one, right side broadcasting that broadcasted the Texas speech at the border security fence for President Trump. Almost 900,000 people watching a boring speech by Donald Trump. And here yesterday, the official YouTube channel for the White House, 32,000 people were watching. And even more revealing than that, there were about 2,000 that gave the video a thumbs up and 4,200 that gave it a thumbs down. Thumbs down for the new administration. Here's a few other videos posted yesterday on YouTube. Even if the YouTube police, if the YouTube fascists can't alter these numbers, and for all we know, they might even be altered more in the favor of Joe Biden. But look at some of these figures, a video, the inauguration of the 46th president. So the inauguration, it says 1,700, so 1,700 thumbs up, 13,000 gave it a thumbs down. Even YouTube can't disguise or hide the fact that Americans, by a large majority, know this is a fraud. It's a fraud in plain view. It says, this is another video. President Biden reviews the readiness of military troops in a pass in review. 869 thumbs up, 5,400 thumbs down. Another video. Biden's work begins. 1,200 thumbs up, 3,200 thumbs down. Here's another video. President Biden and Vice President Harris participate in a wreath-laying ceremony. 397 give it a thumbs up. 6,400 give it a thumbs down. Another video. President Biden signs executive orders and other presidential actions. 998 thumbs up. 6,800 thumbs down. Another one. President Biden swears in day one presidential appointments in a virtual ceremony. 1,100 thumbs up, 7,000 thumbs down. And then the last one, the press briefing by the new press secretary, Jen Psaki. The first ever press briefing, and the press were just fawning over her. They love Psaki. I mean, she was just a welcome relief to Kayleigh McEnany in the eyes of those journalists. The first press briefing, you had 1,000 people on YouTube give it a thumbs up, 5,100 thumbs down. That's from YouTube. That's from social media. YouTube, or at least the audience, has spoken. Very, very revealing figures. Paul Craig Roberts, his headline, "Don't fall for the establishment's tall tales. There was no violent assault on the Capitol, and there is abundant evidence of electoral fraud." There certainly is abundant evidence of electoral fraud. And as I said yesterday, how God sorts this out, how Amos 7 plays out, remains to be seen, at least in some of those details. But what a sobering time this is. Sobering and exciting as well. Because prophecy, it's not on pause, it's accelerating. And we certainly don't want to be lulled into a spirit of complacency. Even just in looking at the objectives of this administration, it should jolt people. This is from one of our viewers. It says, "What a unique episode." This was someone that was excited to see us breaking away to breaking news yesterday, showing the live speech from Donald Trump. It says here, "What a unique episode today with the cutaway to DT's remarks. I feel like you and the crew are just showing off now. Ha." It says, "The program has already adjusted quickly since the YouTube ban, which I consider a badge of honor. It seems God is maximizing every second of every day to fulfill his will and to ready his church for what is just ahead." I was telling my father about how we did switch away to that live speech, and how that there's not a lot, generally speaking, there's not a lot of breaking news, at least here in the United States, at 7 a.m. So that was a pretty unique experience yesterday. But as I was telling my father, you never know what God has in store for his work. And if we're going to be doing more of that, even through the day, as we draw closer to the great tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful tool that God has given us, even if YouTube says, no, you can't talk about it. And I was thinking earlier this week, well, we can talk about stealing as much as we want this week. And then when we go back to YouTube, if we want to hold on to that channel, I guess we'll have to tone it down somewhat. But Joel Hilliker was saying yesterday, because of all the links that we have to YouTube videos on our channel, in our articles at thetrumpet.com website, it might even be good to just lay off of YouTube for a couple of weeks so that it at least preserves that archive. Thousands and thousands of videos. I mean, we have the archive ourselves as well. But to go back and to fix all of those broken links that would be there if YouTube ever deleted our channel, I mean, that would take a monumental effort, given the tens of thousands of articles that we've posted on the website over the years. So it may be that we should just stay off of YouTube for a few weeks. Who knows? Who knows how that we should handle this? But we're grateful that we have the website that we have, and that the message can still go out, and that we can still broadcast here in North Edmond. I was out in the car yesterday just listening to the radio, KPCG, in the car. The signal's not super strong. You have to be pretty close to the campus here. But still, it's going out over the air. It's going out on this live stream. It still goes out through Twitter, through Facebook, but not YouTube. Another one here says, "Great show yesterday. By the way, many thanks also to Mr. Hogan and everyone that worked or is working on keeping the TDR live stream going. Perhaps Satan thought he could blot this message out, too. Nice variation yesterday with the live plug-in. Wasn't that worth it to watch Donald Trump handle himself with such poise? I have rarely seen any public display of emotion by Mr. Trump. It's refreshing to see genuine pathos, it says. You never hear from his enemies such expression of appreciation of the people of America and deep devotion to the nation. That's a pretty good insight, I think. As you hear Donald Trump yesterday just thanking America, thanking the American people. Now you'll hear some other former presidents that go on and on about, really, about the establishment, about democracy as they see it. He was there genuinely expressing appreciation to the American people and expressing just how honored he was to serve as president. It says, what a sobering moment to witness Joe Obama occupy the White House again, even if for a brief time or however long God permits. Thank you for strengthening our faith these past few days on radio and with the articles. He says, finally, it seems rather ironic that God inspired your father to recently speak about the subject of the man of sin, and that was on full display yesterday. Also, what hypocrisy by those who accused Mr. Trump. They hid behind protective panels, barbed wire fences, walls, private security, National Guard. It says, I guess, shielding from the American public with the sham inauguration. It looked more like the Grammy Oscars than a dignified presidential inauguration. You had all of these celebrities. You had Garth Brooks going all through the crowd, hugging everyone. It's a super spreader, really. Spreading COVID. Lady Gaga came out without a mask. But that, none of that matters now. None of that matters. They've got the one. They've got the one that they rigged the system to put in there. Another comment here from a viewer says, Biden's cabinet picks and all the executive orders that he put through today vividly show just what a disaster this is for America. This is a hard return to Obama-era policy, but worse, the Democrat Party has moved so much further left than it was during Obama's tenure, and Biden, the so-called moderate, simply has no firm principles. No firm principles. He is swept up in the leftist tide. It vindicates everything your father has said for the past 14 years, at least since Pelosi came to power. You remember that article back in January of 2007. It says, particularly all that he has written about the Antiochus administration being a weapon Satan has used against America, and then about the Jeroboam administration being a tool for saving America temporarily. How God fixes this latest wrinkle here, we'll see. We'll see soon enough. But step back and get some perspective here and think about what the trumpet has been preparing you for years. And think about the accuracy of these prophecies and the difference, the stark contrast there is between an Antiochus administration, which, as my father pointed out recently as well, it just keeps coming back. I mean, they're not going to take this lying down. They're not going to go away after one shocking loss in 2016. They never did accept the results of 2016. That's why they went on this relentless attack, this assault against the presidency, against the founding institutions of the United States of America. And then there they are yesterday, all of them, gleefully gloating, putting on this fake this fake inauguration in front of a bunch of flags. Nobody was there. I saw some footage, you know, again, of the camera going in the other direction. A few people just walking along on the sidewalk, carrying on with their day-to-day activities. And then a few hundred there. How many in total? A couple thousand? 2,000, 3,000 people? That's it? half of them politicians, National Guard. It says here, going back to the point that he made, this viewer, particularly all that has been written about the Antiochus administration being a weapon that Satan has used against America, and then about the Jeroboam administration being a tool for saving America temporarily. It says, God saved the nation by the hand of one man. This is clearer than ever. People said Donald Trump gave the Republican Party a spine. Turns out, nope. The moment he is gone, they all return to being jellyfish. All these prophecies are clearer than they have ever been. They were stunningly accurate. Now America has chosen this. So many people, listen to this, so many people in positions of power could have prevented it, and they chose not to. The people willing to fight for truth were outnumbered and overwhelmed by those who surrendered to lies. And God, to this point, has not stopped those people. All those people, Democrats and Republicans, and really, there's no difference. That's what we're seeing more and more. You'll see it from the three former presidents in this montage I'll play for you in just a minute. Actually, it's not a montage. It's straight from the feed last night. The inauguration celebration, it's like Donald Trump doesn't exist. He's just erased. He's blotted out. And thankfully, we've got Obama, Clinton, and Bush. Back to the establishment. He says Democrats and Republicans smiling and glad-handing at the inaugural. Chris Wallace saying Biden's speech was the best inaugural address he's heard in his life. The best inaugural address in his life. You heard that in the opening montage. It says, but all the theater today didn't change one thing that occurred on November 3rd and the days afterward. The truth of what happened in this country is totally unchanged. The prophecies that informed your father's forecast about President Trump have not changed. Not even an avalanche of propaganda can topple truth or budget one millimeter. It says, and God promises truth will prevail. How and when? We continue to wait on him. We must. We are helpless to do anything else. Our trust is in God alone. And there's certainly no media organization. There's no political party. There's no movement. There's no action using the Insurrection Act or martial law or anything like that that's going to save America. Only an act of God. Only God. Only the prophecies of God. That's what we rest in. When all hope is gone, as I read yesterday, Romans 4, verse 18. God's people hope on in faith. They hope on what we saw yesterday. The media gleefully gloating about this victory. In fact, it was, the greatest steal in the history of the United States? And if you read between the lines, as I said yesterday or the day before, they know that they pulled it off. They know that they completed the steal. The art of the steal. We've added a few bits at the end to our Joe Obama montage. Here's clip four.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Folks, we got a lot of work to do. I don't really need you to get me elected. I need you once I'm elected.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, mm-hmm. looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
When we disagree, it'll be just like, so far it's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. And I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. But, and I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
Well, President-elect Joe Biden, rather.
Let's get back with the former acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf. One of the things that President Obama is going to do this afternoon, Secretary Wolf, is that he is going to reverse the travel ban from Muslim countries that are hotbeds for terrorist activities.
Also today, President Biden.
I love the last one there. That's the new press secretary, Jen Psaki. You see that she caught herself. Also today, President Biden, even the press secretary representing Joe Biden. And you heard John Roberts before that. That's from yesterday. And then the other reporter from a few weeks ago, Joe Bama. They know. They know what's happening here. They know they pulled it off. They know that President Trump actually won. And so here comes the Biden administration. And I mean, it is working fast to dismantle everything it can. Why so? I mean, you've got a comfortable majority now in Congress. Well, I guess it's pretty evenly divided if you look at the 50-50 split. But still, they control the White House. They control the House of Representatives. And with Kamala Harris as the final vote, they control the Senate. And yet the rush to reverse it all. This is from the news stack today. It says Joe Biden on Wednesday began dismantling the legacy of his predecessor faster than any other incoming president in the modern era. He signed 17 executive orders yesterday. 17! And I think in looking at the history, Donald Trump signed one on his first day. I believe Barack Obama signed just one on his first day in office. It says here they were aimed at halting or reversing some of Donald Trump's most controversial policies. It says that was set to turn into a flood of actions over Mr. Biden's first 10 days as he sought to implement measures without waiting for approval by Congress. And then it quotes Jen Psaki, the one you saw at the end of that montage. She says, there's many more to come. His focus is on moving the country forward. Further on, the article says, none of his immediate predecessors signed more than one executive order on their first day in office, instead attending celebratory inaugural balls. It was a day of celebration for most presidents. And then you get down to work, I suppose, the next day. He gets into the White House, and I mean, there is a rush to, without seeking help from Congress at all, just to reverse everything that can be reversed from the past 4 years. He also, by the way, deleted the 1776 report. We referred to that yesterday. You read through it if you have it. Read through it. The media, though, told him ahead of time that it was, Chuck Todd said it was garbage. Chuck Todd said, that thing, that 1776 report, ew, it stinks. And then in comes Biden and he promptly deletes it. Get rid of the history. Never mind, there's more riots in Seattle and Portland. Smashing in windows. But I guess it's mostly peaceful, so don't worry about it. Happens on the day of the inauguration. You would think Antifa would be happy. They got their man in office. No, they want to carry it on further. They want to get rid of the police entirely. They want to do away with prison systems entirely. They want to burn flags in the middle of U.S. cities. And that's okay. That's okay. Because the only terrorists in the country are Trump supporters. So says Jake Tapper. What a fraud, all of it. This is from The Hill. It says President Biden's personal touches in the Oval Office include replacing a portrait of Andrew Jackson, that's the seventh president of the United States, and adding a bust of labor icon Cesar Chavez behind the Resolute desk, according to the Washington Post. It says the new layout includes busts of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy on either side of the fireplace, as well as the Chavez bust. Other busts in the office include Rosa Parks and Eleanor Roosevelt. So you've got that, then you've got the poem read yesterday. He's trying to straddle the fence, you know. He's trying to appear as a good old-fashioned, you know, traditional Democrat. But then you've got the extremists. You've got the radical preacher up there yesterday drawing attention to the fact that slave labor was involved in the construction on Capitol Hill. And then you've got the poet, the gal reading the poem, the Federalist said about that, that these more extreme ideas would be expressed more directly in a poem than in Biden's speech makes sense and is telling. Biden is still walking the line he has for 2 years now between the woke sensibilities of the progressive left and the more traditional views of most Democrat voters. But see, the progressive left, the radical left, the Marxist left, the Marxist revolutionaries, they control the Democrat Party. And so that's behind this rush to overturn everything that Donald Trump stood for and really to go against the will of the American people, even as that article brings out at the Federalist, even the will of your traditional Democrats. It's a radical movement. It's the spirit of Antiochus. It's not going to go away. It's there. It's strong. And the media, just like they did when Barack Obama was actually in office for 8 years, the media, they swoon. They swoon. When we come back, you'll hear from the former presidents, President Obama, President Bush, and President Clinton. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
But I'm not joking when I say this. If you're ever working with me and I hear you treat another colleague with disrespect, talk down to someone, I promise you I will fire you on the spot. On the spot. No ifs, ands, or buts. Everybody is entitled to be treated with decency and dignity. That's been missing in a big way the last 4 years.
A new era of civility. A new era begins. It's been missing the last. Of course, it's Donald Trump who's responsible for the incivility. It's Donald Trump who's responsible for not treating people with respect. This comes from the new president, who once called someone he was out campaigning in front of, a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. And then, of course, the nonstop, you heard it in the opening, the cold open that we had. The Trump supporters, they're the terrorists. They're the Nazis. And here he comes yesterday saying that if you even treat anyone with disrespect or talk down to someone, you're going to be fired. Think about all of the people that have been talked down to, tens of millions of them, and it continues. It continues. You had in that opening montage, Jake Tapper talking about how that, yeah, we had to get in there and even clean, physically clean the White House because of all this COVID. COVID germs were everywhere. We had to purge it to just get rid of it. And, I mean, they kind of made fun of wearing masks. And then you don't wear a mask yesterday and hug everyone. That's okay, as long as you're a leftist. And you know all the stories of the leftists, the leaders, the governors, the mayors. They say one thing and they do another. Hypocrites, all of them. Listen to this. These are the three former presidents. And it was part of the viewing last night. It goes on for a couple of minutes. So it's interesting, though. And I think very revealing. Just even on the point about leadership, what is it that is true leadership? What defines true leadership? Again, just judging by biblical standards, what Jesus told us to look for, and we know about the prophecies in Isaiah 3 and elsewhere that talk about the dearth of leadership in Israelite countries. Today, here are the three former presidents. This is Barack Obama and George Bush, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. And they're reacting to the new administration that's now in the White House. Here's clip two.
Obviously, there was a personal element to see my former vice president become the 46th president, to see Kamala Harris as our first woman vice president. But more broadly, I think inaugurations signal a tradition of a peaceful transfer of power that is over two centuries old.
Well, I think the fact that the three of us are standing here talking about a peaceful transfer of power speaks to the institutional integrity of our country.
So this is an unusual thing. We are both trying to come back to normalcy, deal with totally abnormal challenges, and do what we do best, which is try to make a more perfect union. It's an exciting time.
We've got to not just listen to folks we agree with, but listen to folks we don't. And you know, one of my fondest memories of the inauguration was the grace and generosity that President Bush showed me and Laura Bush showed Michelle. And it was a reminder that we can have fierce disagreements and yet recognize each other's common humanity, and that as Americans, we have more in common than what separates us.
I think if Americans would love their neighbor like they would like to be loved themselves, a lot of the division in our society would end.
That's what this means. It's a new beginning. And everybody needs to get off their high horse and reach out to their friends and neighbors and try to make it possible.
If, in fact, as George said, we're looking for what binds us together, the American people are strong, they're tough, they can get through hardship, and there's no problem they can't solve when we're working together. I think that was the theme of Joe's inaugural speech, and I think all of us discovered that we're at our best when we're all moving in the same direction.
America's a generous country with people with great hearts. All three of us were lucky to be the president of this country. Mr. President, I'm pulling for your success. Your success is our country's success, and God bless you.
I'm glad you're there, and I wish you well. You have spoken for us today. Now you will lead for us. And we're ready to march with you. Good luck. God bless you.
Joe, I'm proud of you. And you and Kamala need to know that you've got all of us here rooting for your success, keeping you in our prayers. And we will be available in any ways that we can as citizens to help you guide our country forward. We wish you Godspeed.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's almost like Donald Trump, again, doesn't exist. He's been blotted out. And now, or he doesn't count. We can return to a state of normalcy, as Bill Clinton said. And then there was George Bush talking about how the fact that the three of us are standing here, it shows how peaceful the transfer of power is in the United States of America. And he's saying that right next to Barack Obama. Was it a peaceful transition in 2016? Obama was there. He was smiling. He was at the inauguration. He said a few nice things, but what was he doing? What was he doing even before the inauguration? And what did he do? What did the Antiochus administration, the shadow government, what did it do for 4 years? And what did it do on November 3rd? A peaceful transfer. Far from it. Far from it. There are the former presidents talking about love and peace and humility. But look at the fruits. I tell you what, the Trump administration, it wasn't perfect. But those 4 years, going back to what one of our viewers said in that email I read at the start, the past 4 years, really, they really have exposed just how weak the leadership in the United States has been for decades. I mean, even going back before the Antiochus administration, the sellout to China, the promises that they never delivered on. I'll just give you one example. This is moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Sam found this for me this morning. Back in 2000, George W. Bush, he said, "As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the U.S. embassy to the city Israel has chosen as its capital." He said that in a speech in the year 2000. As soon as I take office, I'm going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. This is just one example of the weakness America was used to having as leaders. This is from the New York Times. It says, "Bill Clinton and George W. Bush both promised during their presidential campaigns to move the embassy to Jerusalem. Both later backed away from those promises, convinced by Middle East experts that doing so would prejudge negotiations for a final settlement between Israelis and Palestinians." See, the deep state said, hang on, you don't want to move that embassy. Boy, this could ruin peace negotiations. This could really upset the balance, the strategic balance that's in play in the Middle East. Listen, you're coming in as president. You're new to this. And we've been around for decades, some of us, and we know better. Let me tell you about the status quo. Let me tell you about the Middle East peace process. And so they all backed away. And Obama did the same thing. You gotta give the promises before the election because you need the Jewish vote, right? You need the evangelical vote, right? Because they all want to see it. They all want to see it move to Jerusalem. So say one thing, and then once you're in power, what do? Well, you back away from it. Listen to this. It says, this is the New York Times. "In 1995, Congress passed a law declaring Jerusalem to be Israel's capital and requiring the embassy to be moved there by 1999. So this is something that Congress promised as well. You've got all the former presidents, all of these congressmen and women, They said, yeah, it's got to be moved by 1999. The New York Times continues, or else the State Department building budget would be cut in half. I mean, if you don't move the embassy, we're going to slash funding. This is serious. This was serious legislation in the mid-1990s. So what happened? It says, but the law included a provision allowing presidents to waive its requirements for 6 months if they determined it was in the national interest. So every 6 months, President Clinton, George W. Bush, and eventually President Obama signed such waivers, fearing a violent response in the Arab world if the embassy moved. Every 6 months, they were able to break their promise to voters, American voters. Every 6 months, they were able to do this. And Donald Trump comes in 2017, and what does he do? He moves the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How about that? He's the one now that's been being deleted. He's the one that's abnormal. He's the one that worked against the deep state and all the Middle East experts. And look at the fruits. Just on this one point, look at the fruits. You move the embassy. Israel signed all these peace agreements with their Arab neighbors. What was it? Five Arab states making peace with Israel in a span of 4 years. No wonder every time that President Trump got up, he had to go through all of his accomplishments. Because that history is being revised. It's being revised, I should say. It's been blotted out. Just one example of many that I could give to you, of a leader who went right against the status quo. Some would say he crushed it, he smashed it, and he did what he thought was right. Not everything was a stunning success, but there was some leadership there. What was it that our caller or one of our viewers had to say? Just in looking at some of the executive orders that the new Biden administration has already put into practice, how that they're further to the left than even Obama. And he says here, just to repeat what I said at the start, one of our viewers, it vindicates everything your father has said for the past 14 years, at least since Pelosi came to power, particularly all that he has written about the Antiochus administration being a weapon that Satan has used against America. And then about the Jeroboam administration being a tool for saving America temporarily. We really have seen that on display. Now, however God fulfills some of those details in Amos 7, we'll see. But we've seen everything in America under attack, everything in Great Again. I mean, that truth resonates now more than ever. Now more than ever, you look at some of the prophecies. I don't have time to get into Amos 7. We're about out of time here. But just to go back to that study, we started last Friday and then continued some, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday's program, going through the book of Amos, some of the background, some of the context to that earth-shaking prophecy in chapter 7. It says in Amos 5, verse 14, do what is good and run from evil so that you may live. Then the eternal God of heaven's armies, it says, will be your helper, just as you have claimed. Or as it says in the King James Version, so that the eternal, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. You have to seek good, though, and not evil. And you can't just sound righteous. You can't just speak smooth things. God is watching. God is evaluating. Verse 15, it says, hate evil and love what is good. Turn your courts into true halls of justice. Perhaps even yet the Lord God of heaven's armies will have mercy on the remnant of his people. We've seen God extend a lot of mercy in the last few years. But as we've said all throughout, as far as, again, the perspective that we need to have. We've said all throughout that it's obviously just going to be temporary. We know about the prophecies of the Great Tribulation. We know about the time of Jacob's trouble, when the trouble is primarily for the people of Israel, primarily for Ephraim and Manasseh. And so God says to us, this is in Amos 6, verse 1, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel come." See, there's a lot of people that are now, they now feel like they can be at ease. We can return to a sense of normalcy. Finally, that aberrant behavior of the Donald Trump, I don't even like to say his name, but he's off in exile now. Finally. Finally, the dictator's been removed. And we can get all of these former presidents to come together and to show just how loving and peaceful, everyone in government is. Verse 3, it says, "You that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, woe unto them that are at ease. Woe unto them that put far away the evil day." The evil day is not far away. Jacob's trouble is not far away. The Great Tribulation is not far away. Verse 4, it says, "Those that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." See, they're living the high life. They're drunk on materialism. They're drunk on the riches and the wealth. And so much of that's fake, as we know. It's propped up on massive amounts of deficit spending, the credit card mentality. "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." And God says that we should be grieving. We should be grieving for the affliction of Joseph. The prophet Ezekiel said that we should be sighing and crying for the affliction that's come upon our people. The affliction, it is bitter. It's a bitter affliction. And here are so many people in our nations just living it up, living the good life, even as we see our nations crumbling before our eyes, even as we see our nations falling apart. We saw it happen, so many of us, we saw it happen to spiritual Israel in the late 1980s and the early 1990s. We saw it up close and personal, that spirit of Antiochus that destroyed an entire church, God's church, God's work. And that spirit, that same spirit, is hard at work trying to destroy our nations. And we can thank God that God's work is proclaiming His truth, His message of hope. And we can be hopeful and we can be faith-filled. Even when it looks like there's no hope, we can hope on like Abraham did in faith. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program with feedback, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.